ABC News.
It is a very pale suggestion of a commission that really wouldn't have any teeth at all. So it's no comparison, for example, to the New South Wales ICAC. It's a body which would only be able to investigate if the commissioner reasonably suspected that one or more of a specified list of criminal offences had been committed. So you have to have a preliminary decision made that from a list that would be set out of offences, there is a reasonable suspicion that one or more have been committed before you even get to start an investigation. So it's totally different from the ICAC model, which is able to, in the first place, to take complaints from whistleblowers and private individuals, which the Commonwealth proposal would not be able to do, is able to have inquiries both in private and in public, whereas the Commonwealth model does not allow for public hearings. The ICAC model does not require that there be a criminal offence in the first place, so it's a much more effective, broader examination of corruption generally. And then the Commonwealth proposal is that everything happens in secret, that you only ever get to find out about an inquiry if the Commonwealth DPP institutes criminal proceedings in court. So there is no real comparison between the models.
So you're saying by having this sort of fairly narrow list of possible offences that have been committed, it's too small a starting point for most, perhaps, or a lot of investigations to begin?
It's too small a starting point. The powers that are given are feeble. And the end results do not serve what should be one of the primary purposes of these bodies, and that is education of the public sector and the community about corruption and about the need to prevent corruption. Because you'd never get to hear about it. All you get to hear about is the prosecution of a few criminal offences, if that happened.
So you would only hear about it where there was actually a successful prosecution.
That's correct.
And what about referrals? We know that the way with ICAC, of course, there has to be a referral from the ICAC to the DPP to then to assess whether there is in fact going to be a court case. Would the referral system still work in a similar way in this proposed federal model?
Yes, the proposed federal model would refer findings to the Commonwealth DPP, so that avenue still exists. But they can only be findings based on the criminal offences that were initially identified, as I understand it.
And what about this this idea that the hearings are not public hearings, they can't be broadcast? Why is that significant?
Well, it means that the public doesn't get to know about the facts that are being investigated, which may possibly demonstrate corruption by public bodies. Public education is one of the most important aspects of these commissions, and this would be totally missing. People sometimes become concerned about the possibility of incidental reputational damage to people.
That's been a criticism of the ICAC in New South Wales at times, hasn't it?
It has from time to time, but the way to combat that is for the commission to do what New South Wales ICAC now does, and that is to hold a number of private hearings first to sort of suss out the ground and see what information might be available and the reliability of witnesses and matters of that kind. And then, if appropriate, and if necessary, perhaps to attract additional evidence and to inform the community generally, move into a public hearing. So there are mechanisms for providing those protections which are presently now employed by the New South Wales ICAC.
And the significance of not accepting evidence or tip-offs, I suppose, from Commonwealth public servants as a whistleblower, why have they ruled out whistleblowers as being able to contribute to or begin even an investigation?
Well, that's a very good question. Probably to provide protection for some of the corrupt practices that are presently underway. It's ruled out because, as I said, to even start an investigation, the commissioner has to have a reasonable suspicion that a list of nominated criminal offences has been committed. Now, he's not going to be in a position to do that by investigating in the first place what private citizens and whistleblowers might draw to attention. So they're just not permitted to do so.
Would it be fair to say that, as we see with the ICAC over the years or the Queensland Integrity Commission, that many cases in fact start through a whistleblower?
Absolutely. Some of the most important cases in many jurisdictions around Australia, and every state and territory presently has a commission of this kind. It's only at the Commonwealth level that we don't have one. But some of the most significant cases over the years have begun by an insider, or a whistleblower, or some private citizen, or someone who's been on the fringes of something corrupt, draws it to the attention of the Commission. That is entirely lacking from the Commonwealth model at present.
And Nick Cowdery, just finally, can you give me an example of some cases, perhaps over the last 12 months, or some issues within the Commonwealth Public Service that you think would, for example, warrant some sort of investigation?
Well, the Crown Casino case that's getting a lot of publicity at the moment would be one. The positions of Christopher Pyne and Julie Bishop, post-ministerial duties, taking on consultant positions with bodies that are dealing with the Commonwealth, whether or not that's consistent with the ministerial code of conduct, that would be something to be considered. And there have been a few other things, particularly in the area of procurement.
So you're basically saying that in those cases, it's not to say that there has been wrongdoing, but that there should be some sort of investigation to at least establish whether or not that's the case.
Yes, and that would not be possible under the Commonwealth model, because nobody can, in the first place, identify particular specified criminal offences that can be reasonably suspected.
ABC News.